to Sports Lounge Live, a weekly talk show covering baseball, basketball, football, NASCAR, plus the latest sports news, both pro and college. Hear past talk shows on your phone by calling the Conversation Station or as a podcast on your iPhone, Victor Stream, or computer. Visit legendoldies.com for links to automatically connect via your computer or iPhone. Call the sports aficionados at area code 646-876-9923 and enter the PIN 287-723-4600, followed by the pound key twice. And now, your hosts, Chris Devon, Perry Lester, Sean Platts, and Bill Sparks.
Well, a very good evening from a very warm Naples, Florida, soon to depart early this week back to the Hoosier State. Chris, how are you?
Oh, we're good. And this time, last time that intro was played, we didn't have NFL scores. Well, this time we do. We're ready to go. We're ready to actually have a show. And so tonight we're going to, of course, start out with the NFL. This is episode 20, by the way, for those keeping count and those listening to podcasts or downloads or whatever, so they'll know where they are. This is episode 20 of Sports Lounge Live. We're going to do the NFL. We're going to talk some baseball, both in the booth and off field, you know, the signings, but also, there have been a couple of announcements about broadcasters and a crazy discussion going on about the Red Sox broadcast. We'll get into that. Then we will go on and do a little college football, some college basketball, some NBA, and then throw it open to everybody to get in on the act. So, Sean, why don't you tell them about all that stuff?
Well, first of all, we want to remind you, we will be here next Sunday and on the 30th. You know, hey, playoffs are coming up. The heart of when NBA and college really get going. End of year reviews. Be thinking about some of your big stories of the year that you might think, you know, just different other things. We are going to be here. Also, don't forget, if you want to leave us a message at any time throughout the week, if you're listening on delay, or if you are, you know, hey, even if you're listening live and you don't think of something during the week, 773-572-7715. Do not mark the message private. Also, Ringside Robert and the Ringside Reporter podcast, ringsidereporter.com. Go to your favorite podcatcher. You can get also 773-572-7781. And this week ought to be a good one on there because the ESPN had the 30 for 30 on the Mike Tyson Buster Douglas fight, and they re-showed it, so they're going to be talking about that. This is one I'm actually probably going to listen to because I definitely remember that fight and how it all went down. Also, if you missed, we are not going to read the bowls this week.
No.
But
no.
If you missed them or if you need NFL schedules, go check out what Perry has up at 641-715-3800. Then do 36867 pound, and the bowls are what, on the Sirius option, Perry?
They are on the Sirius College schedule option. So if you go into that option, you'll hear what's already been played and what is upcoming.
And of course, if you want to reach us at any time, download the Zoom app or dial 646-876-9923. Then enter the code 287-723-4600 pound. Star 6 mutes you. Star 6 unmutes you. Star 9 raises your hand. If you think you're going to have background noise, please try to mute yourself, you know, so it doesn't, you know, interfere too much. And Alt Y raises your hand if you're on the computer. So anyway, let's get to the NFL, which the best games were at the end. And yesterday and Thursday, not just but let's...
Before we do the NFL scores, let's clean up one piece of news from last week. Bob in Michigan asked about Iowa Hawkeyes on TuneIn. What you say is play Iowa Hawkeye Sports Network from TuneIn. That's what you say. Play Iowa Hawkeye Sports Network from TuneIn. So that
there you
kinda,
go.
That kind of clears that up. Okay, let's start with our scores from Thursday.
Thank you, by the way. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Chargers 29, Chiefs 28 on Thursday night. They went for two to win. And I know on Friday night in our conference, that got a lot of discussion. I probably would have been old-fashioned. I'd have probably been I'd have kicked the extra point to go to overtime. But Anthony Lynn, I heard him. He was the head coach of the Chargers. And he said that he just felt they had a better chance to win it at that point than they maybe would have in overtime, and that's what his gut told him to do. So he went for 2-1.
Well, he got lucky. You know, that I wouldn't have done it. I'm with you, Perry. Well, these guys are just doing this now.
But knowing the way the Chiefs are in overtime, That's one of those, you take that gamble, and so you, because if you know how your opponent, especially what they did with Baltimore, you just saw that. It's like, yeah, I might take that gamble. I mean, granted, he lucked out, but, you know, hey, it lucked out.
They all seem to be looking at how to make their offenses happy. And you go for 2 years showing you have faith in the guys and all that. How does that make your defense feel? You know, there's two sides to this. And, you know, you're saying that your defense, who shut them down pretty good the last quarter, can't do it again, you know? So, they won the game. Everybody's happy. And two great come-from-behind wins for the Chargers the last 3 weeks with the Steelers game and now beating the Chiefs. And they've set themselves up in a position where they can win this division. I asked Miss A, because I don't know what the tiebreakers are. Right now she's calling Kansas City one in that division.
Yeah,
of the Chiefs.
Kansas City has a better record. Yeah. They have tiebreaker, better division record.
Okay.
Yeah, it's division wins, and they have one more win than the Chargers.
Right, but they have two games left, and that could change. But the point is that they're right there, really, for the number one seed, because if they can beat Kansas, win that, whoever wins that division is the number one seed, and whoever doesn't is the number five seed. So it's very important whoever wins that division.
Yeah.
Well, let's go on to the Saturday games. Texans 29, Jets 22. The Texans had to come, you know, the Jets played a competitive game, but the Texans in the end were the better team, and they won the game.
Yep, they're still in good shape for their division, even though the teams behind them won today that we'll get to. But they've got a two-game lead with two to play, and right now, because of what happened with the Patriots, they would be the two seed. So they're having a really good year. You figure they've won 10 out of 11.
And the Browns 17, Broncos 16. I suppose people would say the Broncos have a mathematical chance, but frankly, it's not good to get in. They did.
No. Cleveland has more of a mathematical chance than the Broncos do.
They
actually,
do,
right?
Because they're 6-7-1. They're 6-7-1, and the Broncos are 6-8. And the Browns, I'm telling you, this is amazing the way they've bounced back and kept their act together. And Greg Williams, and I was thinking back, wasn't he one of the big guys in Bounty Gate? He was involved with that.
He was
and
suspended.
He's probably going to get
a year.
Yeah, he's going to probably get that job. I would. I, how can you let him go?
I would give it to him.
Yeah, I think they're going to give it to him. So he's resuscitated his career. Let's say
he has. Now let's go to today's games. Colts 23, Cowboys nothing. How about those Colts, Bill?
It was a great, great victory today. I hope I'm here.
Yep, it was.
It was a great.
They shut the Cowboys down. You know, the Cowboys aren't known for their offense, and they're much better at home than they are on the road. Let's say that. Oh, they won a couple of important road games to be in the mix where they are. But the Colts really, really played a good game today, and they're now right there for that top. We'll run it down later, but that second wild card in the AFC, they're right there. So it's going to be a crazy finish for the battle for that spot.
And I think as Bill said before we went on the air tonight, what a difference a quarterback makes.
That's
absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Redskins 16, Jaguars 13 on a last-second Dustin Hopkins field goal to win the game.
Yeah, the Jaguars led most of the way, and the Redskins have a vague shot again, sort of like we just talked about, sort of like the Browns. There are teams that need a lot of help. They're at 7-7 now, and but the teams that again have it to lose are the Seahawks and the Vikings. And if they just win their games, they're going to get in. But the teams with seven losses at least have a shot if they get some help.
Titans 17, Giants nothing, and that was kind of a boring game, to be totally blunt with you. I was listening to the Sunday Drive. They really didn't pay much attention to that game.
No, and it's really noticeable, the games they're not paying attention to. There were score changes, because I was asking Miss A about different scores, like the Buffalo game. They weren't even talking about it, you know, and they put at the end, we did hear the end of the Redskins game because it was tied, but I don't think we ever heard a second of the Buffalo game, for example. So they really do focus on that. I don't know, those who watch the red zone, is that set up the same way? Do they really ignore?
Whenever a team is about to score, they go to that game. When they get in the red zone, they go to that game. They go, we're switching over to this, and then when they get back out of the red zone, they'll go to the next one. Now the late games, they do tend to show more of the sensor size mid.
Yeah, well, especially tonight, there are only two. So, you know, that were just two games
you
to
know,
show. So.
Another thing, for those who have the TuneIn Premium, there is a first and goal on the TuneIn Premium, and they do a really good job, too, of going back and forth from game to game to game to game So if you have TuneIn, check that out. It is a good show. It's run basically like the Sunday Drive and the Red Zone are. And I mean, they zip you around. And the nice thing about the TuneIn Premium is they don't have to take commercials. So, I mean, if there's games going on and on, they don't have
to. Well, neither does Red Zone. Red Zone TV does.
The Sunday Drive does.
The Sunday Drive does. And the thing, it would be a lot more frustrating if I didn't have Miss A, because if I want to, you know, we're in a football contest, and, you know, I want to know what's going on. So at least I can, if I want to know the Buffalo score, I can just ask for it any time. But if I were waiting for their two-minute drills, and they only do like about two of them an hour, they used to do every 20 minutes, they don't do that anymore. So it's they've sort of slightly changed their format. It's still fine, and I still listen to it until we get to the late games, especially today, because obviously I was concentrating and the Patriots, but the point is that they do favor the games that have more meaning, you know, and that's just what they're doing these days.
Early on in the season, they cover everything, but now this time of year, they kind of focus down on what has more meaning.
Yep.
Bengals 30, Raiders 16. There's another one that had no meaning, but nice win for the Bengals. The Raiders, they are the Raiders.
They are. The Bengals are still the Bengals, too. I mean, but the Bengals, are in that outside looking in group. They're still mathematically alive for the playoffs, as bad as they've been.
Are. The Raiders played like Brent Musburger broadcasted today.
Yes. Falcons 40, Cardinals 14, another game that had no meaning, but nonetheless it was
there.
You know, the Cardinals took a 7-0 lead, then the Atlanta got 40 points, 40 in a row, and then the Cardinals decided, hey, let's get a touchdown and go out of here on a happy note.
Ravens 20, Buccaneers 12. That's a big win for Baltimore. As it keeps them, you know, pretty alive. Yep. So
in that 8-6, we keep talking about the 6-loss mix, and they're right there in that 6-loss group, and that we'll be talking about when we get to the standing.
Bills 14, Lions 13. Chris, you mentioned that game earlier.
Yeah. Well, it was a game that, and I did listen to the end. You know, Buffalo again is like the Browns. They're not going to make the playoff, but they're building something with a young quarterback, and you know they're. It's a positive attitude there right now. And I think what's going to happen is you're going to see a couple of free agents go there, you know, some receivers and some offensive weapons, because I'm not saying Josh Allen is anywhere near as good as Baker Mayfield, but what it is, there's nobody there. And this guy has to do it all by himself. Well, he has a little help. You know, they could actually put something together there, and they've got a good defense too.
Vikings 41, Dolphins 17. That helps the Vikings keep their playoff hopes alive. And I think the Vikings, from what I was reading, kind of have the inside track should they keep winning.
Yes, both Seattle and the Vikings can do it themselves. If they just win their game, they will get in. But that was a very strange game, similar to the Bears game. It was 21-0, and then the Vikings let the Dolphins off the hook. It got back to be 21-17, and they reasserted control. But they had changed. I don't know. It's about the fourth or fifth team this year to change offensive coordinators during the season, and they did it. And they concentrated more on running the ball, and that was really a big part of what they did today. And really, they looked a lot, rejuvenated. They play a lot better at home anyway.
Congratulations to the Chicago Bears. The Bears beat the Packers 24-17, and with that win, they are the champions of the NFC North. So congratulations to the Chicago Bears.
First time they've been in the playoffs since 2010, and they won that division, and they're going to be a 3 or 4 seed probably. I know Jamal has hopes of a 2 seed, and that can happen, but chances are they'll be playing on Wild Card weekend. But when you haven't been in a long time, you know, we'll be talking about a couple of teams who are kind of veteran playoff teams, and their fans are sort of like, what's the matter with this team? Well, the Bears fans are happy to get a 3 or 4 seed and play on wild card weekend because they haven't been in for 8 years.
Well, and we mentioned a minute ago about the Seahawks having to take care of business. Well, they didn't take care of business today, because 49ers 26, Seahawks 23 in overtime. So I don't think that devastates them, but certainly it wasn't helpful.
No, they're still in a position where they can win it themselves, and they would have won, according to Steve Zabel. If they'd won today, that would have nailed down a playoff spot. It wouldn't have necessarily been the top wild card, but it would have been a wild card. So as soon as they win a game, basically they'll be in, but barring tiebreakers and everything else. But they would have liked to have gotten it done. Now they'll have to, you know, it's what you can do if you can get in. And again, depending on, maybe you don't care whether you're a 5 or 6 seed or a 3 or 4, you can end up resting people, get your house in order. Well, that delays that for another week.
Well, and their schedule isn't the easiest in the world coming up either.
No.
Steelers 17, Patriots 10. I listened to quite a bit of that game. Patriots had a lot of penalties.
A lot of chances. The Steelers were letting the Patriots hang around as much as the Patriots let Miami hang around last week. I mean, the Steelers really, with all the penalties that were being called, and even Scott Dolak was saying a lot of them were self-inflicted. I mean, they were legitimate. People lining off, improper formations, false starts. Like Scott Dolak said, at one point in the game, if they're going on the road in the playoffs, it's going to be louder in those places than it even was there. So, and Sean made a thing earlier. He thinks it's because Tom Brady's getting old.
His age is catching up with him. He's 40 years old. I think 5 years ago he would have come on and put that team on his back, won it. Where now, I mean, and it's not wrong. I mean, sometimes dynasties come to an end. I mean, it's nothing bad against the Patriots. It's just I think now, and yes, he doesn't have a lot around him, but you got to remember, he's a 40-year-old quarterback trying to hang in
41, actually.
He is 41.
41, yeah, 41. 41-year-old quarterback in a young game. I mean, yes, Drew Brees is pulling it off, but Drew has a lot more talent around him.
That's what
already,
I'm saying.
I think the Patriots, their time may be short. They're still going to make the playoffs, but
everything's going to, everything, and everything ends eventually. But I have historically said is, if you look at the weapons that Peyton Manning had, that Drew Brees had, and not so much Aaron Rodgers, he's starting to look like Brady with the flotsam and jetsam he's been given lately. But many of these quarterbacks have had a lot better weapons than Brady, and he's gotten through with the Edelmans and the Amendolas and the guys who are second and third and fourth receivers on teams. Look at what the Steelers, what Roethlisberger has to throw to. He's got all kinds of people to throw the ball to, and the Patriots never draft that way.
No, and when was the last time the Patriots played on that first weekend? I'm trying to remember.
About 6-7 years ago. I was trying to think about that, too. The one thing that Scott Dolak was saying, that this reminds him, first of all, the last time they were losing road record team, they're 3-5 as they finished their road games now. The last time that happened was 2009. Well, what happened in 2009 and into early 2010? The Ravens came in. Ray Rice took the ball on the first play, ran it about 65 yards for a touchdown. The Patriots never caught him. So, it could be a quick playoff exit for the Patriots this year. The same thing for the Steelers. Neither of them looked very good today. In a way, you could say the defenses looked pretty good. The defenses played well.
And the Steelers had to win basically to stay in the playoff contention, because if they had lost, I mean, they'd have been right now, I mean, almost on the outside looking in.
Technically on the outside, but of course with good, with games to go. But the Steelers, that was a bigger game. And, Peter King made that point when they asked him on EEI this week who was going to win. He said he had to pick the Steelers because Bill Parcells' thing was the most desperate team at home tends to win, and the Steelers managed to do it. But and the Patriots, played a good game on defense. The offense did not play well.
And to finish out the week, Eagles and the Rams are just underway. Saints Panthers tomorrow at 8:15. So that covers your schedule for this week. Chris, what are we looking at?
Okay, so we've got the standings here. The Patriots dropped to 9-5, but they're still. But the Dolphins lost. So they are 7-7. Patriots, all they have to do is just win another game, and they win the division. And they're not going to lose to Buffalo and the Jets at home and have Miami win two games. I mean, they're going to win the division, but they're backing in. This is not the way you want to. This is not a December Bill Belichick kind of finish that you're seeing here. In the North, the Steelers did stave off the Ravens by winning today. They're 8-5-1. The Ravens are 8-6 in that playoff 8-6 mix that we were talking about. Browns are at 6-7-1 now, and mathematically still alive. And the Bengals 6-8. I'm not sure if they in Denver. They might be out. I'm not sure. Somebody have to crunch all the numbers.
I think they're pretty much out.
Much for sure. In the Houston, a big win with for them. 10-4. They're going to win the division. But the Colts and Tennessee are both 7-6, going to 8. They're now 8-6, and they're going to meet in the last game of the season in Tennessee. That'll probably be one that's flexed to 4:25 on that last week. So we'll see that all over the country. In the West, we were talking about it with the both the Chiefs and Chargers at 11-3. Chiefs have the tiebreaker right now, but 2 weeks to go. Again, Denver pretty much eliminated. In the NFC, we have Dallas, again, they've actually made things a little bit tough on the, you know, they're still should win the division, but they're now 8-6 and Washington went to 7-7. If the Eagles could manage to beat the Rams, they probably won't, but they could go to 7-7 and be just a game behind. But with two to go, it's going to be kind of tough. Giants did have a brief fling at thinking about the playoffs, but that ended today by their losing. In the North, congratulations to the Bears, as we say, went to 10-4. Minnesota's now 7-6-1. Again, they have the inside track along with the Seahawks for the playoff. Green Bay was now eliminated, I'm sure, at 5-8-1. They'd be out.
Yes.
Yeah, they're out.
Detroit already was. In the South, New Orleans already won the division. Carolina at 6-7 is basically in the same boat that the Packers were. They've got to win out and hope for all kinds of help. So they do have a slight chance, but they've got to win tomorrow, and that's not going to be easy. Tampa Bay and the Falcons are already out of it. In the West, we have the Rams at 11-2 and Seattle at 8-6 right now. And again, if they win out, they'll get in. And, you know, then the big battle in the NFC probably will be for who's going to be 1-2 between the Saints and the Rams. And then 3-4 between the Bears and Dallas. And so let me grab the schedule here.
And some, remember, some of these games, remember, could be moved around just a little bit. So keep that in
right.
mind.
So,
and while he's grabbing it, remember, you can call in 646-876-9923.
And we do have a caller.
287-723-4600.
We do have a caller with a hand raised.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
We may have Dick from Milwaukee.
I thought I saw Dick's number. I've remembered you this time, Dick. Welcome aboard.
Hey, how about them Bears?
The Bears.
They did it.
I tell you what, though, they almost. I was going to look through in there when Rodgers got that touchdown.
I know it, because you think back to that first week and how the Packers came back on them. You got to say, whoa, is this happening again? You know.
Yeah, guys, I got to talk to you guys about what the game last night. I didn't hear most. So if I heard the end of it, it was Cleveland and Denver.
Right.
And I could not believe the boneheaded mistake that the Cleveland coach did, and he was very lucky to win that game. They were winning by one point. They were down about the 13-yard line of Denver, fourth down. He could have kicked a field goal. It was about a minute to go. He could have kicked a field goal, maybe give it a four-point lead. But this guy doesn't do that. He just runs the ball, and then Denver gets the ball with about 50 seconds to go. Now, they didn't do anything.
Right.
They could have. And they would have kicked the field goal. They would have won. I expect that guy may have coached his way out of being the head coach next year.
Now, well, I'm wondering is, was it fourth? Because I had the game on, but I don't remember that particular play. Was it fourth and what? Like fourth and one?
Or no, fourth and one.
All right.
Yeah, I think something like
it was,
that.
There's
yeah,
a
was
lot of – there is the thought. Now, I'm not defending the guy because I agree with you. But there's a thought that when you have a field goal and you go for a field goal, that it could be blocked, that this could happen, that could happen. And that's sometimes why they do that. I don't agree with it. I think you're right. You know, that's really what the Patriots did that set up the fact that Miami needed a touchdown last week to win that game. And I think that was the right play for Belichick. It just, you know, they had a one in a million.
On the 13-yard line, though, Chris, that's actually that. You shouldn't have to worry too much about that being blocked. That's a pretty short field goal.
I know. I would have kicked it. I agree. Okay, getting to the schedule for next week. We do have a Saturday night game. This schedule doesn't show it as a Saturday night game, but it is. And Baltimore is at the Chargers at well, it actually has this as a Sunday game. I think it's at 8:20, and I guess on NFL Network. And then there's no Thursday night game this week, according to the schedule.
There's a second Saturday game, Washington, Tennessee at 4:30.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah. See, these don't show any of those.
Those are the two. Because remember, there were two Saturday games, Washington, Tennessee at 4:30, Baltimore, and Chargers at 8:20.
Okay. Washington, Tennessee
both
is important.
Both on the NFL Network.
Too. Yep, those are good games because those all have playoff implications. So the other games we have are all on Sunday, except the Monday night Christmas Eve game. Sunday, the 23rd, we have Cincinnati at Cleveland, 1 p.m. on CBS. Tampa Bay at Dallas, 1 p.m. on Fox. Minnesota at Detroit, 1 p.m. on Fox. We just talked about the Washington, Tennessee, which is really going to be on Saturday. We have the Giants at Indianapolis, 1 p.m. on CBS, and that's different because that would normally be a fine, you know, Giants road game. But anyway, that's what they're doing. We have Jacksonville at Miami, 1 p.m. on CBS. Buffalo at the Patriots, 1 p.m. on CBS. Green Bay at the Jets, 1 p.m. on Fox. So they're actually flip-flopping those games in New York. Then we have Houston at Philadelphia, 1 p.m. on CBS. Atlanta at Carolina, 1 p.m. on Fox. We have the Rams at Arizona, 4:05 p.m. on Fox, which means CBS has a doubleheader. We just talked about Baltimore, the Baltimore game being on. Then we have Chicago at San Francisco at 4:05 on Fox. Then we have Pittsburgh and New Orleans. That'll be a good one. 4:25 on CBS. And the Sunday night game is Kansas City at Seattle, 8:20 on NBC. So that's and the Monday night game. I'm sorry. We have Christmas Eve, Monday night. If you don't want to watch It's a Wonderful Life, you can watch Denver at Oakland, 8:15 p.m. on ESPN. Watch ESPN.
That will not be a wonderful life watching that game, I'm sure. But
it could be the last game. It could be the last game played in Oakland, though, by the Raiders, I'm hearing.
Yeah, that.
Maybe, because we weren't talking about that this week. There is a chance they need to pay, I think it's $7 million to play there next year because the stadium in Las Vegas is not ready.
Right.
And they don't have a temporary place to go yet. It depends
on
where
they may be back for one more year, and the league has basically told Mark Davis they have to know what's going on by the end of January. So,
And for those that are wondering, why – you may be thinking, wait a minute, why were these games not on the schedule for Saturday? What the NFL Network did, they waited until a couple weeks ago to decide to see who's in contention, and they gave them a couple weeks notice to move to Saturday. That is why, and they basically had two slots, and they wanted to see two teams that were pretty much in contention, but they didn't want to take away a big game from the 4:25 late game or the
Pittsburgh,
night game.
New Orleans or something like that. Yeah, right.
They didn't want to take one of those to NFL Network. So that's why that happened. Look, anybody have any? Got any callers? Any?
We have a caller with a raised hand, and I have a technical issue here. So, Sean, you're going to have to watch but Perry, the screen because I have no speech. So, we can make it all the way through.
I think I hear you. Did I just hear Jerry there?
I'm here.
Okay.
What's going on, Jerry? Talk to us, Jerry.
Well, a comment I want to make is that, I was. Ironically, I didn't go for the home team. I picked the Patriots today, but I really am afraid for the Steelers next week. I mean, down there, Drew Brees and all of that, I don't know. I'm a little worried.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers, and the problem is, but the Ravens have just as tough a matchup going into Los Angeles and playing the Chargers on Saturday.
So that's
true. That's who the Steelers have to watch out for. They don't want to be a wild card team. It's one thing to be the three and, wonder whether you can be the three or four seed and not win your division. The Patriots will win their division. The Steelers are not in that boat. They could very easily lose the division and with losing the division even be out as they could have been today at this point, So they've got a bit more of a tightrope to walk than the Patriots do. But neither the Patriots, as I said, Jerry, neither the Patriots nor the Steelers look like the Patriots and the Steelers of old. That's for sure.
Oh. And they had all the conditions. It was damp and rainy and sloppy, and the Steelers had played some of their best games in that kind of weather, but they didn't do their best today.
Yeah, well, they won. I mean, that's the important thing. And, the Steelers, you can look at it, depends on, people here will say the Patriots did enough to lose, and the people there should say the Steelers did enough to win. That's how you look at a close game like that, there are issues on both teams that need to be addressed. They've got to do something about that Boswell. I mean, I'm telling you.
They
He's been turnovers.
What did they say on the Steelers broadcast, Jerry? They had Sean Sweezum in trying to coach him this week.
They did.
Well, he's 10 for what I heard they gave on the Patriots. I think he's 10 for 17 on field goal. That's not a major league.
That's
kicker,
correct. That's exactly what Bill Hillgrove said.
No, that's not good. And then if Brady hadn't thrown an uncharacteristic interception in the red zone, he did. He threw it into tough coverage. The other thing I think is Gronkowski is injured. I think he's not healthy. And I don't know where James White was today. James White was not a big part of the offense, and he usually is. So I don't know if there was a health issue for him either. But,
Chris.
Even fewer weapons for Brady than he normally had.
Yeah.
But
speaking
the Steelers, I will say the thing about the Steelers, they get those wide receivers. They ought to have somebody come. They ought to figure out who drafts those wide receivers and have them come and help Bill Belichick do that. Because they get them, boy. They got them coming off the butt.
Speaking of interceptions, I think we do need to mention, and we didn't when we got to the Bears game, Aaron Rodgers threw his first interception today after 402 passes without an interception. That is a very good ratio of
NFL record, yes.
NFL record, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Well,
okay, anybody else want to just say your first name and we'll come to you if you have any topics you want to bring up. Okay, we will go to baseball then. Not a lot of baseball. We do have some things I want to. We want to say that the Mets today signed Wilson Ramos. He's a catcher to a 2-year deal. Charlie Steiner, broadcaster for the Dodgers, thanks to David USF for alerting us to this. He got a 3-year extension, and I don't think that was a done deal because there were a lot of complaints about Charlie in the World Series and the playoffs this year.
I was surprised, actually. But I just think that they maybe like the stability of it. He's a name. I'm telling you, what happens in L.A., if you're a name, and he's had that, you've almost got to have, in other places, you have local experience, and then, you know, people know you, and you get the job through that. They're the opposite. It's like he's a national guy, boxing and baseball and things on national level, so therefore he keeps his job. I think in other markets might be a different story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we had this thing with the Hall of Fame. Let's talk about this. We kind of mentioned it on the way out last week that Lee Smith and Harold Baines got in. Lee Smith, 16 out of 16 votes on the committee, so that was good for him. Baines, 12 out of 16. And if you believe Chris Russo, the Mad Dog, neither one of them were Hall of Famers in his mind. Lee Smith just isn't a Hall of Famer, and Harold Baines was just an out-and-out disgrace, according to Chris Russo.
I don't know about that. I mean, it takes a lot to play. How many years Harold Baines play? About 23 years or something?
22.
Yeah, I mean,
Lee Smith is a Hall of Famer.
Of course he is. Of course he is. He was when he retired, as Jamal told us last week, when he retired, he was leading baseball in saves, all time in saves at that time. Well, when you're leading for a category that you're getting paid off for, and you lead it when you retire, you know, that's pretty good.
I wonder, though, sometimes you have these guys like Chris Russo, and I mean, he's fun to listen to at times, but I wonder if he says some of this stuff to get the, you know, the fodder and the discussion going.
Oh, sure.
They do that.
And I think I think it's probably even worse when there's two panelists. Now, we don't do, just inside baseball here, we don't do that. I mean, you know, Sean said that thing about Brady before the show, and obviously we knew we were going to talk about it a little bit. But we don't just sit there and say, I mean, there's plenty of times that Sean Perry and I agree about stuff, and you guys snore away and yawn, and then we move on. But I mean, I swear on some of these shows, all right, do you want to be pro this or anti?
And there's a lot of times we disagree on things too.
Sure, we do.
Well, we'll bring up on shows where it's almost like I said, I mean, because he had bloopers this week anyway, but the screaming A. Smith and Max Kellerman, or especially back when it was him and Skip Bayless. I mean, you know that was staged. Oh, you got to argue just to argue. I mean, I've heard lots of stories about
that.
Well,
I wonder if they flipped a coin and say, do you want to be for this or against this? You know,
I will say this about ESPN. I've heard this from a guy who works there locally. He worked for the Longhorn Network, but then he came back to radio, and Longhorn Network, of course, is ESPN. He said, they almost want two people to pick a side and be confrontational. He said they're probably the worst about that, you know, about doing that.
Right. I think, though, that Russo, I believe that. Russo felt that way, though, in this case. Because
knowing Russo, he probably does.
He and Tony La Russa had a debate on the MLB Network on his show on Wednesday at the winter meetings, and it was quite a contentious debate. So I believe...
Yes.
I believe in this case that Russo certainly believes what he believes.
Especially on Harold Baines, because Tony La Russa managed him for many years with the White Sox, so that, I'm sure, got that going.
Hold on, Chris. I think one of the problems that he had with this is on the committee, you had Tony La Russa was on the committee, Reinsdorf was on the committee. there were four people that were directly connected with Baines on that committee. So he felt, you know, the committee should definitely be neutral. And at that point, when you're that, when you have that much connection, it's not totally neutral.
Yeah. We have a raised hand.
Speaking of talk shows, we need to get into this whole business with the Red Sox, because this is crazy.
Okay, before we do that, we have a caller.
It's not dying and going away. I made a comment
on
our phone system.
Ahead,
okay. We have a caller. We have a caller with a raised hand.
Yeah.
Extended 312 area code. I got my speech back.
That would be Bob.
Bob, right.
Yes, sort of a baseball question. There are rumors that Cumulus wants to buy WGN Radio, and I was just wondering if they do, does that mean they'll get rid of the White Sox again?
Dude,
that is a very good question, Bob, and it's one that, frankly, I was able to answer your other one pretty quickly, but I don't think I can figure that one out.
I don't see why they would.
I wonder if Q – I bet they would because they already – because the White Sox did not end that deal with WLS, and Q, they did not leave on good terms. And if they owned WGN right after the – yeah, that
– Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, that could be – and, of course, the White Sox can always go to WMVP. You know, which they've been at AM 1000 many times in their history. So, you know, MVP would be very happy to take them, I'm sure.
Or it's also possible, Chris, they could go to BBM, and then BBM, you know, that group of stations would have both Chicago teams.
Like in New York, yeah. But anyway, getting back to this business with Tim, it was announced this week that Tim Neverett would be leaving the Red Sox broadcast. They did not renew his contract, and the rumor is that he may go to the Mets to work with Howie Rose, which would be a good thing for the Mets. But what then was brought up, and just doesn't seem to be going away, is a thought that somehow the Red Sox would have almost like a talk show format during the game. And I don't think it'd be straight talk show, like taking calls from, you know, Fred in Dorchester, that kind of thing. I don't think it'd be doing that. But just getting into whatever controversies, and, oh, by the way, it's two balls, one strike. Well, first of all, it's a radio broadcast. I guess that's what they do on the Sunday Night Baseball. That's what's been done on the Patriots preseason games on TV. But when you've got a sport on the screen, you can do that.
Sunday Night Baseball, Chris, on TV?
On TV. That's what I heard.
Well, they do. Not really. No, they don't.
Because
I
can tell you, they don't do that on radio on Sunday Night Baseball.
No. Oh, no.
And they,
on TV.
I mean, no, on TV, they do it a little, but not really. Like if the game's real slow, they get into other stories. But if the game gets interesting, they do. So it's not totally. But, and even on radio, I mean, the Rangers, if you listen to Eric Nadell, he kind of does a little bit when he starts reading the limericks and making up his limericks and all that. But, I mean, they still tell you what's going on.
Oh, yeah. No, but I think you've got to be ready for the next pitch and tell people it's outside ball, too. And then if you want to get back to something, my point is that the problem is with the Red Sox, the real issue is Joe Castiglione. He has never, for example, when we, and I was talking to my friend Rick about this, and I'm telling you, this is true. You know, everybody all through, not this past season, but 2016, starting at the thing that when it happened in July, there was a whole big thing about Dennis Eckersley and David Price. And David Price, you know, really showed Eckersley up on the plane and said he didn't know anything about baseball and this and that. And it was brought up in the pregame. You know, different times with Rob Bradford coming on with Mike Monansky and things like that. It never got on the game broadcast because Joe Castiglione never puts himself in the middle of anything like that. And even when Rob Bradford would come in there, they would just talk about the game or who's getting off the DL, who should be in the rotation. You know, the baseball, the nuts and bolts baseball. They never talked about it on the game broadcast. I think what they want to do is say if something – now, Dave O'Brien, if he'd have been there, I think it would have been perhaps a little bit because Dave would step over the line and do that. And Joe would somehow just be quiet. But I don't know. They're not going to get rid of Joe because Joe's been there so long and, you know, he's the voice of the Red Sox and this and that. But if maybe what they need to do is bring in – one or two people with more personality. And I think Joe can respond a bit to personality. He did with Dave O'Brien, you know, who had a bit of a sense of humor. He did with Jerry Trupiano, who had more personality than Tim Neverett, let's say. But I don't think having a talk show work. The other rumor now, the one I heard yesterday, and whether it's any credence to it, is that Will Fleming is the guy who might come in there and work with Joe in that he may have a little more personality. If he's anything like his brother Dave, that makes sense because Will Fleming has been doing postdocs along with Josh Maurer. And so I'm thinking, that's the idea. But if you were to bring in, and my friend Rick and I were talking, if you really wanted to jazz it up, you bring in Will Fleming to do the play-by-play that Joe doesn't do, and Kevin Millar. And then you got a booth. You have a booth then, boy, because Kevin Millar will say anything anytime. So that would work.
All right. If you're going to do that, though,
you're probably going to turn some people off because I would think when I tune into a baseball game, I'm not really turning on the radio to hear a talk show. I'm turning on the radio to hear play-by-play.
Right.
If I want to hear a talk show.
But I think if you had Joe and Will Fleming and Kevin Millar, I think you'd still get to play-by-play. And I think that they'd make sure that would happen. But I think that with Kevin Millar there, you would definitely get some crazy opinions. I don't know that the players would always like it. Now, mostly they watch TV. Now that all the games are televised, televised. They used to hear the radio out in the bullpen. Now everybody's got their little TVs. They could probably get away with saying whatever, but yeah, I could picture Kevin Millar saying, oh, this guy's just not, you know, they Red Sox got to think about getting rid of this guy. You know, he's just the kind of guy he is.
And that's true, Chris. They must get TV because remember the Cubs situation here a while back when it was Chip Carey and Steve Stone. That's what happened to them. Players did not like it, that they were critical of the players. And you saw what happened to those two because they were critical of the players.
That's right.
Yeah. And of course, anything else on baseball or any? Really, no, I guess that's...
No, I think
we could talk about why you think the winter meetings are so slow. That was, you know, things just didn't happen too much this week.
No, this has been the second or third yet, and it sounds like that may be what happens. Is that we may be seeing more
the
stuff
NFL. Look at the NFL. They've stretched it out to an all-year thing. You got the combine now, basically March, April, with the draft, signings May. I mean, they're getting news in every month. And I think, and the NBA, look, I mean, July, the off-season, is all, you know, almost as big. I think baseball's like, hey, if we want to be relevant, we can get in the news a little bit each month instead of getting it all done at the winter meetings. That's probably a bit. Anyway, but yeah, but I don't know. That's just my thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose real quick, we'll talk about the college football stuff a little bit. Chris Klieman was named the coach at Kansas State. He the coach at North Dakota State, and the North Dakota State Bison and Eastern Washington. Those are the two teams that'll be playing for the finals in the FCS playoffs. That's the first Saturday after New Year. So,
January 6th, right before the wild card games, and yeah, they play North Dakota State there again.
They're there again. and Chris Klieman, and unlike a lot of these Division I, Chris Klieman will coach until the end of the season.
Yes,
is that game being played, by the way?
Usually in Frisco, Texas.
Yep, Frisco,
usually.
Texas. That's where it's
at the Toyo, at the soccer stadium there where FC Dallas plays. They play it right there at Toyota Stadium or whatever they call it, whatever the name of it is now. But also, real quick on the bowl games, your winners yesterday, of course, North Carolina A&T, the HBCU, the Celebration Bowl, the historically black colleges conferences playing each other. They won that one. Tulane.
If you just look at the scores, that was the best game of the day, just by the score.
Yeah. Tulane beat Louisiana Lafayette. Utah State blew out North Texas. Fresno State beat Arizona State.
Is that a big surprise? Because Fresno State is not from a power conference, and
Fresno State has been a top 25 team though.
Okay.
The year, they've been in the top 25. Georgia Southern over Eastern Michigan, and then Appalachian State over Middle Tennessee. So yeah, I didn't watch any of those games. So.
No,
but
no.
We've been answering Shelley's question periodically, and there's one more answer that comes to mind on it. You know, we said that it's TV and everything. I heard a stat yesterday that of the betting population, you know, those who place money on the game, 99% of them were betting on these games from yesterday. So the gambling population, they love these bowls.
And also you have like office pools and bar pools where you pick all the bowl games and you go through. So people are watching them to see how close they're in it because, you know, $5 a person or $10 a person or whatever. I mean, like the bar that I go to has one going on and all that. But yeah, that is a big reason. Plus, it's better, you know, like I said, especially this right around Christmas, it's better than doing like 24 hours of year in review, I guess.
Yes. And you know, that's an interesting thing, year in review. That'll all be coming up, so I'm sure we'll have our stuff as we get
be
there.
Everybody, be thinking of like your two or three biggest stories of the year and bring them to us here over the next few weeks, and we'll probably be thinking of NBA real quick. Or do we have any callers? Anybody want to...
I have no callers. I think Walter may have something to say. Walter,
you have something to say?
Oh, no.
Okay.
NBA. I thought I'd make him talk.
A couple NBA things going. Last night, we had some history. The first time since 1982 that two players from the same team got a triple-double, and it happened on the same team that it happened in 1982. Lonzo Ball and LeBron James both got triple-doubles last night. 1982, Magic and Kareem did it. So it's the first time since 1982 that happened. Also, Trevor Ariza goes to the Wizards for Oubre, with Phoenix. So that trade was trying to happen. It was one Brooks, and then Phoenix thought they were getting another Brooks. And so, but Trevor Ariza going to Washington.
Eventually, they get
You know what? Okay. Washington is sneaking in there. Ariza, good six man coming up. Washington's creeping up there and building a team. And if rumors are true, if Kevin Durant decides that he wants to go to Washington because he's from there, you know, this could be a team to watch. I mean, well, even this year, I mean, Golden State, they're not even in first in the West right now. I mean, you got Oklahoma City creeping up there. I mean, and if you got teams, New Orleans, you know what? I mean, Milwaukee in the East, Toronto, Boston. I mean, it's an interesting time. Golden State, some are saying, oh, they're waiting until the playoffs. Don't worry, you know. And then, but is it going to hurt them? I don't know. And you know, maybe it's just
next
me,
week. One of the things we can do for the NBA, because everybody's around on Christmas, and by noontime Eastern time, people have kind of opened the presents and done all that. We can run down those Christmas Day games next week. I can grab those.
Yeah, 5 days.
Yep.
How much?
Five golden games, yes.
Okay, yeah, 5 games. All right. Also, college basketball, we had some pretty interesting games going on yesterday especially. Mm-hmm. And it's been kind of slow because schools are in finals, so a lot of teams played yesterday because they had a little bit of a break, and so you may not see a whole lot until, I mean, you have the Maui tournament next weekend, but other than that, you may see teams with one game this week. But Kansas, Villanova.
Isn't this usually the week where you see things like Missouri, Illinois, you know, stuff like that?
Yeah, you see a lot of these rivalry games. You see that, I mean, you saw a little bit of that last week with Cincinnati Xavier, Nebraska Creighton, you know, and then this next week or so, especially because they try to get these games because they know the students are gone. Students are gone, so they're trying to fill the arena some. And, you know, they want to give their players a few days off to go home to their families. But, you know, like I said, you had Kansas, Villanova, interesting game, Gonzaga, Tennessee. I mean, you had some decent games yesterday. I mean, you know, Villanova, I mean, they're kind of, you know, they're always hanging around. They were only ranked 17, but I'm sure they'll move up, you know, no matter what. And then, you know, but you also see a lot of these, like, what was it? Well, you had yesterday your Iowa-UNI
game.
Yes, we had
the final Hy-Vee Big Four Classic here, and Iowa State beats Drake by 9 points, and then UNI couldn't hit the broadside of a barn and lost by 3 to Iowa. So
and you also see this week, you see a lot of your big state schools playing some of their directional schools because, like, you'll see Texas go down to the Valley and play UT Rio Grande Valley, or A&M will go play A&M Corpus Christi, you know, different things like that.
You ask Miss A about the team, you find out that Rhode Island went in and beat West Virginia today.
Didn't know Rhode Island's a top 25 team. West Virginia is good, but Rhode Island's a good team. That Rhode Island Providence game a couple weeks or so ago was a decent game.
And you guys had Bill the Indiana teams all playing yesterday.
Indiana came back and beat Butler in the last second.
And CBS carried that doubleheader.
They carried both of them. They carried both games. The Indiana Butler and the Purdue Notre Dame. Yeah, they had it both. So it was.
But
I mean,
what's good about the Rhode Island schools, the three of them play each other: Brown and Rhode Island and Providence, and they all play every year. And I, you know, there are schools that won't play each other in the different states, like you're running into now in Iowa, there, Perry. And I admire those three schools. They always, you know, they all play each other.
And Nebraska and Creighton always play each other. And now that Nebraska Omaha has become Division I, they're working them into the picture. And, you know, like I said, Texas plays a lot of the directional schools that are here, you know, within the state. And
BC plays Providence every year. That's one of the old Big East rivalries that still hangs on, you know, so that's a good thing.
All the Philadelphia schools, but you saw that this week.
Yep.
You know, them all playing each other and taking turns, you know, with Temple, Villanova, St. Joe, Penn, LaSalle, all rotating.
One that happens fairly often is an old Atlantic 10 rivalry, and you remember it from the 90s, Temple and UMass. They still get together most years.
Yep. Another game to mention from yesterday, Gonzaga. Not only did they lose last Sunday, they went to North Carolina last night and lost again.
Yes.
So
they were number one going into, and now they fell down to, I believe, number three, and they're going to fall a lot more. I think, you know, they're going to fall. And, you know, Gonzaga is good, and they'll be in. They'll always make the tournament because the conference they're in, you have them, St. Mary's, occasionally BYU and San Diego that are a decent teams out of the West Coast Conference.
San Diego but, State, you mean?
No, San Diego, University of San Diego. San Diego State's the Mountain West.
Oh, okay.
San Diego State's the Mountain West. San Diego's down this year,
the Toreros.
They have been a power, but Gonzaga, St. Mary's, and occasionally BYU dominate. But I mean, that's what's going on there with college basketball. Like I said, we'll get more into it as we get. Anybody have any questions, or how much time we got about?
We probably got about five minutes.
5 minutes.
Five minutes. Your 5 minute warning.
One thing I've been wanting, a couple grab bag things we've probably been wanting to mention the last couple weeks, but this happened about a week and a half ago about Seattle getting the expansion hockey team that no name, and we just never got around to mentioning it.
Yep. So. And then the Flyers today fired their coach, and they're going to hire the former Blackhawks coach to come in and coach that team. I saw that today.
And okay. NASCAR is going to be looking for a new sponsor after, I think they're about done with Monster Energy, and they say they're just going to call it the NASCAR Cup, and they're going to try to have three tiers of sponsors. So that's a little grab bag news.
Okay.
So there's a lot of things. There's a lot of little stuff going on, and I suspect that next week, if you really ever wanted to get in and really have a chance, next week and the week after is probably going to be it because
– you know what? Next week might be a good week because it's close enough to the end of the year for everybody to bring their big story or two of the year because it's Christmas. And, the week after, we'll be talking a lot about bowl games and playoffs, but next week we'll talk some, but that might be a good week.
Actually, the thing we should do next week, too, is preview those two playoff games because those will be on the 29th.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah,
one thing we should mention to people, and we talked about this the other day, is when we slow down in like February and, times like that, we're going to go through and, the three of us will kind of interview each other and you'll learn more about us.
Yeah.
Heck, at that point, you know what? We'll even let you ask questions. If you have something you want to know, within reason, of course.
Yeah.
And we're going to be bringing callers in. We're going to be interviewing the different regular callers. Some of you, we may pick a week, and we'll let you know in advance that, hey, it's going to be your week, and we're going to talk to you.
So
we'll
hear something about one of us, and you say, how do they get to that? You have your chance to learn once we slow down after the Super Bowl and all this.
Right.
We might we may even get Bill in here and get his sports knowledge and all that stuff, too. So
that'll be quite right.
And definitely be thinking about your big stories of the year because, like I said, that's something – because I got a couple in mind, but I'll save them.
We've got about 3 minutes, I think.
About 3 minutes to go. So what are you guys listening to?
During your wrap-up, sometimes it doesn't all fit under the wire there, Sean.
You can go slow this week.
Okay, I can slow down. Basically, as I stated, if you miss this or if you have a friend, a relative, anybody that wants to listen, anybody that you want to listen to the show, go to legendoldies.com, look up today's date, of course, podcast 20, or the date December 16th, or any other one from the past. If you want to hear them because they were either so good or so bad that you need to hear them, go there on legendoldies.com, the talk show page, find Sports Lounge Live, and you can get it. It'll be right there. Or if you don't have a computer, if you want to listen on the phone, the conversation station at 712-432-6499. Also, if you want to leave us a message at any time, remember 773-572-7715, and we will address it. When we get messages, we do address them. And if you have an idea for a topic, even let us know. Feel free. We're definitely there. Got Steve Nomer coming up next. Once again, we are going to be here.
No, Treasure
Monday.
Island Oldie. Treasure Island Oldie.
No, Treasure Island Oldie. Not Steve Nomer. Steve Nomer's on
Steve,
Monday. Monday, Thursday.
Just had somebody falling over in Wichita. They didn't know they were coming on the air.
Treasure Island Oldies, of course, all things radio will be – the last episode will be this Thursday for the year. Last episode for the year, not forever. And all things radio extra. Coffee Club, I recommend that, 9 a.m. Eastern every Wednesday. Bill Sparks and his crew.
Is there going to be Coffee Club this week, Bill?
Yes, there will be Coffee Club this week, going strong. And I guess I'm about to hit the 0-0, so it means say goodbye to everyone.
All right,
and thank you.
Have a good week next week.